I want you to follow with me this morning as I read a few verses here in 1 Peter. 2 weeks ago, I preached on I shall come forth as gold. Job said that I look forward and I can't find him. I look behind me and I can't find him, to the right and to the left, and he's not there. Sometimes there's times in your life when trials and problems come your way, and you know you're saved, you know heaven's your home, but you just can't feel the Lord or find the Lord. And that happens to all of us. And the devil in those times will attack you in a very special way. And he'll try to make you think God doesn't love you and God doesn't care. But I want to remind you that he made a promise. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there. And we may not see his hand, but we can trust his heart that he's always there with us and he's blessing us. And I don't know why this is on my heart so heavy. Some things that so many of our church family are going through. I want you to pray for Miss Eva and for Brother T.G. especially today. Keep them in your prayers. And I mentioned Brother Ward in the hospital and Miss Mabel in the hospital. Remember them and then others who are recuperating. And Miss Peggy, I talked to her on yesterday. She was going to try to get here today. And so she must not have been feeling quite well enough this morning to come. But keep her in your prayers. And April and all the others and so many people who have physical needs. But just not physical needs. There are a lot of things. I mean, there's an all-out attack against God's people. And I want you to read with me this morning, and follow as I read. And I want to read 9 verses to begin with in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, Peter's saying, I want to thank God for you, for those of you who are saved, those who know the Lord, know that God had a plan for you before the foundation of the world. Know that God the Father's greatly involved in your life. God the Holy Spirit is involved in your sanctification. You're saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think, listen, that doesn't mean just me. It doesn't mean other people that you think of who are Christian pastors or evangelists or whatever. I'm talking about every boy and girl, every man and woman, that God the Father, who created everything in this world, has an intense interest in you. God, the Holy Spirit of God, if you've been saved, lives inside of you. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, you on his mind, he shed his blood for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, you are somebody. You're somebody. And when you're going through dark days, please understand, and that's what Peter's emphasizing, when you understand what I'm talking about, when I read the rest of the text, he wants you to realize that they're for you, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're for you. And everything that happens in my life and your life, he has an orchestrated plan, I believe, for his glory and for our good. Notice, if you will, please, back down at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. He said, not only is God the Father for you, not only is God the Son for you, not only is God the Holy Spirit for you, but he saved you and he's already got you a place prepared in heaven. You've got an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled that's been adding up ever since you've been saved, and it won't ever fade away. There is no depressed market in heaven. You don't ever wake up and the market is down low in heaven. It's always escalating, always going up. And he said it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it's reserved in heaven for you. So thank God, amen, that God the Father's for you, God the Son's for you, God the Holy Spirit's for you, and you've got a place in heaven. And just as soon as God will let us, we get to go. Say amen right there. Amen. It's not a bad thing to go to heaven. I thank God for the fact that it's a real place and God's got a good place prepared for us. Now notice not only that, but he said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He said, not only is God the Father for you and God the Son for you and God the Holy Spirit for you, not only has he already got your place set up in heaven, but right now you're being kept by the power of God. I'm going to tell you right now, we'll just take recess and shout about 30 minutes, praise God. We came in with a heavy heart, came in with burden, and we got somebody on our side. The God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we already got a place in heaven. And my dear friend, not only that, but right now we're being kept by the power of God. And we'll just rejoice in that. You know, the problem is we don't know who we are. We don't know what God's done for us. We don't appreciate that. But thank God he has. Amen. Oh, you said, Brother Bill, I don't feel very spiritual. There's times I don't feel very spiritual, times I don't feel well physically. But I'm going to tell you, there never is a time I'm not saved. And there's never is a time that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are not for me. That it never is a time that anything happened down here fix what's in heaven already reserved for me. And there never is a time that I'm not kept by his power, and thank God for that. I might get weak, but he never gets weak. He's with us through it all. Now, having said all that, he said, wherein we greatly rejoice. Don't you like that word, greatly? It's like Brother Brad said, wee, you know, old Teddy, wee, I'm glad the Father's for me, I'm glad the Son's for me, wee. I know what you do, Brad. I'm glad I got a place in heaven, whoopee, you know, whoopee. Praise God. I'm glad I'm kept by the power of God. Yay. No, it said, what's the word? Greatly, greatly rejoice. I would love to hear you greatly rejoice one time. Thank God. Oh, listen, he's great. He is, and we greatly rejoice. Thank God. We rejoice in that greatly, and we magnify the Lord. Now, let's read the rest of the verse. Now, he said all of that. He didn't set us up. He prepared us for what's fixing to come. Verse 6, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That word temptations means trials, hardships, fires, refining fires, defining fires. And my dear friend, he said, we rejoice in all that, although right now you may be in heaviness. I was reading that one time, and I was thinking about all the saints of all the ages. And I thought about Paul singing at midnight. I thought about the children of Israel walking around in that fiery furnace. I thought about Daniel in the lion's den sleeping with the lions using them for a pillow. And I thought, boy, they go through troubles and problems. They don't have a bit of problem. And I knew that when I went through some tough times and when I was going through some things, that I was going through some tough times. It was heavy, heavy on me. And then when I read this verse, I said, thank God, though now for a season, just a short time, just a little while, you might be in heaviness. And so there are some people who know the Lord, love the Lord, but they're going through some things that's just heavy. It's just heavy on them right now. But I'm going to tell you something. We greatly rejoice in that God the Father's for us, God the Son's for us, and God the Holy Spirit. We rejoice. We got a place in heaven. We rejoice that we're kept by the power of God. But though now, if for a season, like that little phrase, if need be, if need be. Do you know that God is working in you? He loves you. He died for you. And he's got a place for prayer. But sometimes we go through things. I can't understand it. I can't tell you why things happen like they do. I can't tell you why good people had trouble. But I'm going to tell you, I like that little phrase, if need be. Now, who defines the need? Who determines the need? Not me, but him. I don't understand what he's doing. I don't understand why it was needful, but God does. And you know what? Some things happened to me that were not for me, but for somebody else. Sometimes God lets things go on in my life, in your life, to be a testimony, be a blessing to somebody else. But no, notice this. He said, if need be, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Now he said, listen, he said, God the Father's for you, God the Son's for you, God the Holy Spirit's for you. He's got your place reserved in heaven. You're kept by the power of God. But right now you might be going through some tough times. He said, but what's the result of that's going to be? That when you stand before the Lord, your faith being tried by fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Praise and honor and glory. Now, I am convinced, having studied that verse and read through that verse many times, it does not mean that I'm going to get praise and honor and glory. It means that when I get on the other side and I can understand a little better about what went on, he's going to get all the praise and all the honor and glory because he brought me through. And what he did in my life and how he used those things that I thought were the worst things ever happened in my life for his greatest glory and for greatest good. And God, I'll see that, and he'll get praise and honor and glory for all of that. And thank God for that. Now notice this last phrase at the appearing of Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom thou, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. And we don't always see him. And we can't see him physically anyway, but we don't always even sense his presence. But sometimes we don't, but we love him. And we know he's got a plan for our life. Now turn over, please, to chapter 4. Chapter 4. In chapter number 4, I call your attention to verse 12. And he said this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you." Now that word strange means some unexpected thing. It means something unplanned. He said the fiery trials that happen to you are not unexpected from their source, and they're not unplanned from their source. And he said, don't think it that this is just an accident. Don't think that this is just something that happened in the cosmos because all the stars, everything were out of whack. He wants you to understand that the fiery trials you're going through didn't just happen. I like Brother Tom Gillen preached. He said this in verse number 13, "But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Now, who gets the glory? He gets the glory. Who gets the honor? He gets the honor. We get to do the rejoicing over what he's done and give him glory and thank him for it. There's no telling, because of what you're going through, how many people are going to be in heaven. And they're going to come up to you and say, because of your testimony, and you never even knew I watched you, I trusted Jesus. When I was working in the cotton mill, as just a young father, and Regina and I had got in church, got very active, and our first daughter, Christy, had developed leukemia. And there were folk in there I had talked to and witnessed to. One of them was a guy by the name of Arthur Gibson. And Arthur was a little short guy, and shorter than I am, so he was short. And he was a little bandy rooster. He was tough. He's a cusser. I mean, he was tough. He's tough as anybody in the plant. And he worked in the shop. And I'd have to take machines out of the department that I was supervising over here for him to work on. And I'd try to witness to him. He didn't want to hear it. He'd cuss a blue streak and everything else. And I wasn't aggressive. And what I got to do, I got to just tell him how good God was, how God blessed me in Regina. And then Christy died. A little girl died. And sometime after, I went into the shop and took a piece of machinery to him. And we were standing there talking. And I was just telling him about what God had done, how good God was. He stopped and looked at me. He said, "It's real, isn't it?" I said, "What do you mean it's real?" He said, "What you got is real." He said, "I watched you through all the sickness of your little girl and through her death." And he said, "I've done everything I can to make it not real." He said, "But what you've got's real, isn't it?" I said, "Arthur, the only thing I have is Jesus." And right there in that shop, I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord that day. And that cussing mechanic got on his knees and gave his heart to the Lord. His wife got saved. They became part of our church. And they actually babysitted Melissa. Some when she was, is that right, or did you babysit? They babysitted Melissa for us. And I, listen, when you get to heaven, there are going to be a lot of Arthur Gibsons that you never met. A lot of people watched your life. And all that you went through, God will get glory and honor, but you get to do the rejoicing. When they come up and say, "I'm here because of you." I want you to bow with me for prayer for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to help me. God, give me your anointing and power. And I pray, God, you'd help me be a blessing to God's people. And I pray, God, if there's a man or woman, boy or girl here lost, I pray, God, they get saved today. And I'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. He said, "Think it not strange when fiery trials come." That means unexpected, unplanned fires. Because he said this in chapter 1, he said, you're going to go through those fiery trials if need be. I can't explain it to you. I can't give you all the answers to it. You say, "Preacher, why did this happen?" I don't know. I'm not God. But I do know this. God is not surprised. And God has a plan. And God has this. But I got something else to tell you too. That he knew it was coming before you ever did. And he'd already started a process in your life to prepare you for that. My wife always said when we'd hear of a death of a child, she said, that's one thing I could never go through. But somehow or another, when our little girl Christy went home to be with the Lord, God had already done something in her life and my life that caused us to go through. Was it fun? No. Did we cry ourselves to sleep for a year or two later? Yes. But I'm going to tell you something. God had already prepared us. I'm going to start tonight over at Coates, and for Monday and Tuesday night and tonight, I'm dealing with the potter and the clay. And this thought's been on my heart, but as I began to study and think about this service this morning, I thought about all that our people are going through and all they've been through. Think it not strange. It's not unexpected. It's not unplanned. It's not undesigned. God's got a plan. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes, and I know my time's already gone, but I want to preach to you on fitted for the fire. Did you know you're already fitted for the fire? I don't know what phone call you'll get today. I don't know what tragedy will happen in your life. I don't know what diagnosis you'll have on Monday. But God's already fitted you for the fire. He knew the experience is coming, but he's prepared you. As I've looked back through the process of pottery making, you may remember that as the potter has prepared that clay and he's got that clay ready, that as he begins to work that clay, he puts into it something called grog. It's a very, very, very fine sand. And he puts that grog in there and he works it into the clay. And then, of course, he allows it to sit for a while and then he begins to fashion the vessel. And when I talked to Jerry Finberg, the Jewish potter who explained the potter making process to me, I said to him, I said, Jerry, why is it that you put that extra little bit of sand in that clay when you're mixing it up? He said, explain to me what it is. It's called grog. And he said, Billy, when I put that grog in there and I work it up, he said, when I put that vessel into the fire and I fire that vessel, he said, it will expand and then it will contract. And he said, if I don't put the grog in it, it will not accept the heat and it'll crack. But he said, I put in it already, before it ever goes in the fire, what it's going to have to be able to go through the fire. And I want to tell you right now, God the Holy Ghost loves you. He died. Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. He's not going to let you go through things unprepared, unexpected. And whatever grace you need, he's already got in you. He's prepared you for it. I can't do this. I couldn't go through this. I don't believe I can take another day of it. But God's already put inside of you exactly what you need. He knows what things you have need of before you ever ask him. And when you need grace, he's already put it in you. And when you need mercy, he's already got it in you. When you need perseverance, he's already put it in you. He's got it in you. He's already put that grog inside of you. And my dear friend, listen, when he began to work in our life, he's used other things in our life. As I was talking about the potter making process and that grog, and as they take that and they put it in there, a good source of that grog is from bisque fired vessels. You see, when he fashions the clay, it goes through two firings. The first firing is called a bisque firing, and he puts it in. It heats it up to about 1,800 degrees, and what it does, it sets that vessel, and then he takes it out of the fire, and then he goes through the process of putting the glaze on and all that other. But some of those vessels who've gone through bisque fire vessels and they are not what they ought to be, or something happens to them, I found out a strange thing, that some of those vessels that are like the, were put out in the potter's field, some of them that were broken, some of them that wouldn't conform to him, that bisque fire vessel, if he takes a portion of that and crushes it very finely, he mixes that in new clay. And having put that bisque-fired vessel that's been broken into the new clay, it helps it to accept the fire. And when I think about those saints of God who've gone before me and those around me, and I see where they've gone through the fire, sometime God put some things in me that if God's grace was good for them, he'll be good for me. Paul said, listen, he said, God is no respecter of persons. And he said, what God's done for me, he'll do for you. And my dear friend, when I see God work in other people's life and God give them grace, sometimes God puts that in my life to make it what it ought to be. When he takes that vessel and he gets ready to put it in the fire, he sometimes will take it and he'll dip it in water before he puts it into the fire. That special anointing. And sometimes just before you coming up on a hard time, God will give you a special spiritual blessing. Now, most of you know that it seems like, and sometimes we say to, you know, we had such a spiritual high and then the devil come and attacked us. And I know that's real. But I'm telling you too, that God will give you sometime a very special anointing, a very special blessing in your life to prepare you for the fire that you're about to face. He knows what you're going to go through, and you're fitted for the fire. He's already put in you everything you'll need to take the fire. Sometime he gives you a special anointing on the outside of the Holy Spirit of God to where you can stand the fire so you can go through the fire. You're fitted for the fire. He's already got it that way. When he misfires that vessel, you remember this, what I shared with you on the potter and the clay? It goes in, most of the time it goes in gray and it goes to that initial fire at 1800 degrees and it comes out, it's kind of red. Adam, by the way, means red dirt, red clay. That means every one of us descended from a redneck. Say amen right there. Everybody got a little bit of redneck in you, whether you want to admit it or not. And I'm proud of it myself. But what that vessel does when it's bisque fired, it's porous and it's brittle. If you pour a liquid in it, it will absorb into that bisque fired vessel. And so then there's a second firing. Now, I want to tell you, my dear friend, you're fitted for the fire. And you say, well, I'm going to have a crisis experience. I'm going to go through this tough time now, but I won't ever have another one down the road. No. It doesn't work that way. And can I say this to you? Now, I don't want to discourage you, but sometime the further in your journey, the more intense the fire, because there are second fires and third fires, and he's preparing you for his glory. But he makes the glaze. Glaze means skin of glass. It's made out of silica and other things. And out of the fires of the furnace sometimes, he finds the best material that he makes glaze out of. He takes that vessel and he paints on that vessel. Old-time potters didn't use any synthetics. They always used natural things. They used iron. Iron they used to make brown. Copper makes green. Cobalt makes blue. And so the coloring on old-time pottery were actually metals, not synthetic, genuine. When it goes through that fire, it becomes a part of that vessel. And when he puts that vessel down in that glaze and then puts it in that final firing, on an average, they have to heat it for at least 8 hours. Did you know 8 in the Bible is the number of new beginning? He heats it up to 2,400 degrees for 8 hours. And at that point, it changes its chemical makeup even. It becomes what's called clay maximus. It becomes stone. And so when he puts that in the fire, he's already got it ready. He's got everything that needs. It's already got the color that when it goes in, it's dull and not very attractive. The slip itself, it's sometimes kind of a milky looking substance. And if you were to just set it to a side, you look at it and you say, man, that is the worst looking vessel I've ever seen. All that just, you know, dull, dead looking metallic on there. And that slip is just kind of a, you know, just a dark looking, milky looking and not very attractive. But see, he's already got on the vessel what's going to make it a different vessel when it comes out of the fire. And when it goes into the fire, there are three things that happen to it. Number one, when it goes into the fire, it changes its chemical makeup when it's heated 24 degrees. And the pottery term is it matures. In 8 hours of intense heat, it matures and it changes to clay maximus. It makes it stone and it's set. My dear friend, God put in you something that won't shake. He'll let you go through some tough times and he'll give you some backbone. He'll prepare you for the rest of your Christian experience because he let you go through those times and he gave you spiritual strength in the fire that you couldn't get anywhere else. Make you, like old Dr. J. Harold Lowman said, he said, I pray God to give you a backbone like a saw log. And God will set you in that fire, and no matter what comes or what goes, you'll be able to trust him. He'll give you some backbone. But then not only that, but it makes that vessel beautiful. When that bisque fired vessel comes out, it's gray, it's red and kind of dull looking and everything. And then when he puts the slip on it and puts the painting on it or whatever, it doesn't look very attractive. But when it goes in the fire, it beautifies it. You see, the word glaze means a skin of glass. And you've seen the pottery house, how they shine, how beautiful they are. That doesn't just happen. It can only happen if need be, he said, if need be in the fire. And that fire beautifies the saints of God. I mean, it puts a glow on you. It puts something on you that you won't get anywhere else when you go through the fire. Makes you have a brilliance that you couldn't get anywhere else. The third thing it does is this. It makes that vessel useful. When that vessel was in the best form, it's porous. If you happen to get something on the outside of it, you could clean it up. But when that vessel goes through and it becomes clay maximus, it turns to stone, it has that beautiful sheen on it, it beautifies it. Anything that gets on it, it's easy to clean it off. Those mature vessels that have been through the fire, they're real easy to get clean. That's why in every revival, every evangelistic meeting, or even on Sunday morning, when God the Holy Spirit moves in an unusual way, you know the first people to come to the altar? The most faithful, the most dedicated Christians in this building. You know why? Because they're easier to get clean. They're easy to get clean. You know what? I fail the Lord. I do things maybe ought not to do. I think things ought not to think, everything. And the Bible talks about that we get defiled or dirty. But those people who've been through the fire, boy, when God the Holy Spirit speaks to them, they're easy to get cleaned up. It's easy. Man, they'll get right with God. When God the Holy Ghost deals with and speaks to them, they're quick to get right with God because they know what fellowship is with Him. They know how He's blessed them. And my dear friend, when you go through the fire, it makes you easy to be cleaned. But then another step is this. Those misfired vessels are porous, and if you pour grape juice in it, it would discolor it, but also eventually seep through it. But when you take that pottery vessel, if it's been through that intense heat and it becomes a clay maximum, it becomes a stone, you can pour anything you want to in it. It won't seep out. You can cook in it. You can put it back into the fire. And when you put it back in the fire, it'll accept the heat and it'll cook what's inside of it, but itself will hold all of its color features. It'll keep the brilliant sheen and it'll be easy to clean up. My dear friend, God wants us, and He'll put us through fire so we become useful. We've got a testimony. I tell you what it'll do. It'll take every bit. If you go through enough fire, it'll get you to where you understand this. I'm nothing, but He's everything. I can trust Him. I can trust Him. And when people are talking about how this, that, or the other about you, you can say, hey, it's not me, it's Him. He's a great God. He's cooked me. He let me go through the fire. I'll tell you, He's fitted you for the fire. I want to tell you, I love you, and I'm praying for you. And I know a lot of you are going through tough time, been through some tough time, but I want you to understand this. Think it not strange. Don't think, well, why is this? Not just the uniqueness of it, strange being unique, but the idea, the concept is this, that it's unexpected and unplanned. God's got a plan. And you might not have known it was coming, but He did. And He had an intense purpose in it. He had a reason for it. I don't understand all of it. We may not understand it all of it down here. In fact, I know we won't. But I know one thing. God's going to work it out for His glory. You say, well, Brother Bill, I don't know if I could face that or not. I watch people. I know people that have suffered great loss, and I don't think I go through that. I look at them, and high in the world is it that they can hold up? High in the world is it that they can be a blessing to others? And I think to myself, I couldn't do that. But you know why? Because God put something in Miss Judy and Jimmy ahead of time. He was already in there. It didn't just happen the other day. It was already inside of them. God had already prepared them. God's grace is sufficient. Doesn't mean there's not heaviness, but God's already got inside of them. I was trying to think of some way to illustrate what I'm talking about, that you're fitted for the fire. Now, this is not unique to one family. It's going on in a lot of our families now, but it goes on every saint of God at some point in time. Because you're fitted for the fire. You're headed for the fire. You're going to go through it because there's no other way to get to that place that you'll be clay maximus. No other way that you'd have the backbone you ought to have. No other way that you have the usefulness you ought to have. No other way that you'd have the glory of God on you like you used to have. Except that you're fitted for the fire. And that vessel, when it's been through that fire, if you hold it up to a light, you see a beautiful reflection of that light in it. And that's where He wants to bring us to where we reflect His glory. But I was trying to think of some way. And I thought about something. I know many of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Does anybody here remember the stories of Uncle Remus? Raise your hand. See? And you look at all them old people. But now, you know, they reprint a lot of that stuff. Now, of course, it ain't always politically correct, so they'd have to be careful. But there was a story. I remember when I was a little boy, Uncle Remus told, there was a story that we used to read about Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox. Anybody remember that one? Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox. It's kind of like Roadrunner and the Coyote, but it was way before that. Brer Fox always wanted to catch Brer Rabbit. And he was sharp. He never could catch. Every way that old fox went, the rabbit got away from him. Every way he went, he never could catch him. And so finally, I don't remember all the story myself. I was going to ask Regina. She remembers better than I do. But somehow or another, either he came up with the idea or somebody else came up with the idea for him to make a tar baby. And he made a tar baby and put it right in the path where Brer Rabbit always come by. Brer Rabbit was all the time talking and cutting up and picking on people first thing. And so he come by that tar baby and spoke to it, and it wouldn't talk to him. It just sat there. And so Brer Rabbit went around and around it. Next thing you know, he done got aggravated, and he punches it, that old tar baby. And his paw gets caught in the tar baby. He hits it with his other hand. He gets caught. He kicks it with one foot, and he gets caught. And here he is. He's stuck in that tar. And old fox comes out, and now I got you. Now, what am I going to do to you? And old rabbit hung up in that tar. He said, and old fox said, I believe I'm going to eat you. He said, well, please eat me. He said, please eat me. Just eat me, slam up. But whatever you do, don't throw me in that briar patch. He said, I might not eat you now. I might wait and save you for breakfast. I'm adding to the story now. And he said, well, you save me for breakfast, but whatever you do, don't throw me in that briar patch. And that goes on for some length of time. And finally, the fox figures out. He said, I want to do something to really aggravate him. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take him, I'm going to throw him right in the middle of that briar patch. And so he gets him off that tar baby and throws him in there. And the bunny rabbit goes, he's just a hooping and a hollering and a shouting and everything. And he pops his head up out of the briar patch. And he said, I guess you didn't know I was born and bred for the briar patch. Did you know, my dear friend, that you were born and bred for the fire? And the devil might think that when you go through the fire, that's going to be the end of you and to destroy your life, destroy your testimony. But I want you to know you're fitted for the fire. You're born and bred for it. And God will carry you through it. And God will get glory. And it will be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. I want you to do this. I want you just to trust him. You can't unexplain it all. And I want you to know this. It's for a season. But just trust him. Just trust him. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed and every eye closed, first of all, let me say this to you. The promises that I've just talked to you about are for those who, in the beginning of this chapter, have experienced the redemptive work of the Lord. God the Father loved us, gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died. The Holy Spirit of God applied that grace and mercy in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these promises of an inheritance that fadeth not away, these promises of the fact that God's going to take good care of you regardless of the storms and the fires you go through, he's going to be, it's all for the children of God. And if you've never been saved by the grace of God, you'll go through them by yourself. There are good times and bad times that come to save people and lost people. But when you have to face the fire by yourself without the grace of God, it's an awful time. When our daughter Christy died, we had the help of God's people all around us. We had the grace of God in us and the Holy Spirit of God with us. And we said to one another, and I've heard it repeated 1,000 times over since then, I don't know what people do that don't have the Lord and don't have a good church family. My dear friend, you can know him. You can be saved by the grace of God right now. Right now, you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And know that whatever you face in the future, whatever you go through, you'll have somebody to go through with you. Several years ago, I went to visit Judy's brother, Billy. He had cancer. Lived in a mobile home up the way up here. And during that time, being sick, Billy had gotten saved. I guess he's the first one I ever heard say it. But I knew he was getting pretty low, and I walked into his trailer that day in the bedroom where he's at. And I said, Brother Billy, love you. Been praying for you. He said, Brother Billy, you know what? He said, I'm a winner either way. He said, if God heals me, I'm be glad. But I've been laying here this morning thinking that if he don't heal me, I'm going to get to go to heaven. I won't ever be sick again. I won't ever have to have another radiation. Won't ever have to have another chemo. He said, I'll get to see my loved ones there. He said, I sure am glad I got saved. I sure am glad I trusted Jesus. Some years later, when his mama went, I know he was really glad to get to see her. Other loved ones that's already there. What a blessing. If you don't know Jesus, you need him today. You need him. You need to trust him. The Bible said the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God, it's a gift. And a gift has to be received. And so right now, radio audience, internet audience, right where you are in your automobile, at home, at work, or here in the auditorium, if you don't know Jesus, would you right now, would you be willing to receive him? You say, Brother Billy, how to receive him? The Bible said you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that God had raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So right now, if you want to be saved, will you call on him? You might pray a simple prayer like this. You pray it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you were buried, rose again. Come in my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me right now. I receive you as my only Savior and Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus, to love you and serve you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me right now. If you pray that prayer in the building or in the media audience anywhere, please let us know.